You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Well, good evening to you, and welcome to the Thursday edition of Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are powered by SID Media. It is the 31st of October 2024. It is the last day of this month of October, and we are well into the last quarter of the year 2024. I do pray and hope that whatever it is that you are praying for and hoping for this year, at least if not all of it, some of it, of course, has come to fruition. But if not, you still have about, what, November, December, 2 months or thereabouts for you to pursue all of that. But thank you so much for joining us. It is a Thursday. That means it is Shapeshifter right here on Business Sense, and we appreciate you. +27 7347035200. That is a +27 7347035200. That's the number that you can use to talk to us. And this evening, our shapeshifter is Ama Mohapi, a business mindset coach, founder of Mpo Ama Mohapi Coaching, and author, podcaster. She's also a qualified industrial engineer and has worked in the engineering sector for several years before venturing into the coaching and facilitation space back in 2014. So, of course, that's just a snippet of some of the things that make her to be our shapeshifter for this evening, and we are really excited to talk to her this evening. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm wonderful, thank you.
Yeah, fantastic. How's the year so far for you?
It's been hectic and fun.
Oh, fun. I love the fun part.
Mostly productive. Okay. Yes, I never forget to have fun.
Oh, look at that. I think I need a bit of coaching on that, on the fun part, you know, getting to do funny things, eh?
Definitely. I can assist with that.
Yeah. Look at that.
In no time.
Oh, I love that. Do you think that that's one of the things that's missing? We're trying to be chasing the bag. We've got pressure. We've got all these things. And we are constantly on this rabbit hole, as some might call it, working. But we don't get to do fun stuff at times.
We don't. And another thing is that a lot of people don't even plan to do those fun things. In as much as they plan their work, they forget to plan for the fun. And then what's the point of this life if you're just going to be working?
Ooh, what's the point? What is that saying? All work and no fun makes...
And no fun?
Bob, what? Something about... Pop and waking, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
A boring something, but something, eh?
I cannot be that. So over here, it's all work and all fun.
All fun.
We work hard and play hard.
Oh, I love that. Right? Really love it. Thank you so much, ma'am, for taking your time this evening. We really appreciate it. And I think that was just a snippet of what you do. Our producer was really excited, telling me a little bit about a lot of what you do. And I also, yes, I think, thank you to Google. We can Google people, you know, and be like,
yes,
okay.
Now we are Googleable.
We are Googleable. I think if you are not Googleable, they say you are a catfish, these young people. They say you are a catfish. How come you're not Googleable?
You definitely need to be Googleable so that people can trust you.
Exactly.
And know that you've got that credibility on your side.
Look at that. Fantastic. Yes. I know it's an odd question, but let's start here. If people ask you to tell them a little bit about yourself, what do you say? Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I can. I think I know myself better than anyone.
Nice.
I am an adventurous spirit.
Okay.
I am a person that is always smiling. I love and believe in people.
Okay.
That is me. And I'm an extrovert.
Extrovert.
I love to travel. Mm-hmm. I love trying out new things.
Okay.
So anything that extroverts do, I am there.
Okay.
From bungee jumping to swimming with dolphins in the natural habitat. Yes, I do it all. That is me. That's how I would define me. And on the business side, I
Mm.
am a business mindset coach.
Yeah.
I empower entrepreneurs with mindset tools to help them overcome business challenges.
Yeah.
And I assist aspiring entrepreneurs uncover and monetize their talents.
Lovely, yeah.
That, yes, that is me in the nutshell.
In a nutshell, eh? I love it.
Yes.
And let's then go back a little bit. Where were you born?
I am from a small township called Kwatema in Springs in
Kwatema.
the east of Johannesburg.
Ah, my fellow Eastrander. I'm from the
I'm
East
an
as
East
well. Look
Rander.
at
Are you also
that.
from the east?
I'm from
Where?
Boksburg.
From Boxburg.
Yes, I didn't grow up in
Oh.
Boksburg, but I moved to Boksburg in the East Rand, and I've been
Hello,
loving
East Rander.
it. Yes, hello.
I love the
Kwatema.
synergies already.
Look
It's
at
so nice.
that,
I was born and bred in the East Rand.
Yeah.
I did my primary and high school in the East Rand.
Yeah.
Yes, and I did my tertiary education at the Vaal University of Technology, where I studied industrial engineering.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
And what was Guatemala like, if you can just glance a few years back growing up as a young lady there? What were some of the social challenges that at least you could remember? And maybe the kind of home that you were in, because I know some people say, my family insulated me from some of the socioeconomic challenges that were
Yes.
happening there and all that. What was your childhood like in
I
Guatemala?
am so glad you said that because I'm one of those people that never felt any
Sure.
socioeconomic challenges
Yes.
because I was surrounded by love.
Yeah. Ooh.
Love is the greatest force and the realest force that one can feel. And even when there was no food at home, I never felt that because my parents would make meals that the children eat. So I was surrounded by love. Therefore, everywhere I went, I was able to spread that love and share it with other people probably who don't have the same privileges as myself. And again, it's not monetary privileges. But growing up in Guatemala was wonderful for me. I used to get home late. I was always in trouble every evening as a
Okay.
child because
Okay.
I enjoyed playing outside and I would get in trouble for coming home late. So I had a very wonderful upbringing. I
Wonderful
have
upbringing.
absolute great memories. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
And poverty outside of your home, what would you normally see that you can remember?
As a child or
Mm,
just right
as
now?
a child.
I didn't notice this. I know a lot of people would
Okay.
think you're being delusional because I promise you, I had an overflow of love that was poured over me, and that gave me confidence, and I could not see. You know when you don't know what you don't know? So I
Yeah,
did not know
yeah.
that there's a thing called poverty up until I was a young adult. That's when
Yes.
I started seeing the realities of the world. But as a child,
Yes.
for me, eating pap and cabbage was a proper
Was
meal.
fine, yeah.
It was a delicacy for myself.
Yeah.
So yeah, I only was able to see that gap. And yeah, as a young adult,
Yes.
yeah, as a child,
No, you didn't
no.
see any of those, right?
Fortunately, no. I know not a lot of people have the same story, but my
Yes.
story
Yeah.
is amazingly beautiful. Yeah.
Oh, that's
And
amazing.
I didn't grow up in a well-off family, like I'm saying.
Yeah.
My parents made do with what we had,
With what we
but
had.
and my community also, I'm from a very loving community. I mean, the street that I come from is one of the most loving streets. I mean, the people from there
Look at that.
cannot live without each other. It's the
Look at
most
that.
amazing culture that
Yeah.
I've ever witnessed. So it's not just my household, it's
Yeah.
the neighbors. They were all my mothers and fathers.
Yes.
And yeah, so it was a loving community.
It was a loving community. Okay. And primary
Yes,
school, where
yes.
you said you went, it was still in Guatemala as well.
Guatemala.
Yes.
Yes, I went to primary school in Sakhelwe Primary School, which is
Okay.
in Guatemala.
Yeah.
And I did my high school at Gelukdal Secondary School, which is a few kilometers from Guatemala. Yeah.
Gelukdal sounds Afrikaans.
Yes, it is
Ooh.
Afrikaans, but it's still a local school.
Oh, so they taught Afrikaans.
They are?
They taught Afrikaans
I didn't
there.
get that.
They taught Afrikaans.
They have, yes. So we had two first languages.
Yeah.
So there was Afrikaans. So they would teach Afrikaans as a first language and
okay.
English as a first language.
Ah, so
and majority of those that learned in Afrikaans,
yeah.
they were taught Afrikaans from primary.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so you brought Afrikaans like very good.
I can net a big Afrikaans brought. I have outgrown it a little bit.
Ah, okay.
Because I don't speak it every day.
Ah, okay, but very conversant
yes.
around, you know, Afrikaans.
I can hear it.
Yeah.
I can stay in a conversation, but somewhere, somehow, I might get lost.
Oh, okay, I get that. And
yes,
so you started,
yes.
but you started the Afrikaans from primary school right into.
I did.
Into,
yes,
oh,
yes.
So you didn't struggle with Afrikaans most. You were like there, you know, just transitioning into it.
You know what?
Yeah.
I don't know if I liked it much.
Yeah, okay.
I used to skip class.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Some
okay.
days because
yeah.
I didn't do the homework.
Mm.
We all have those stories.
Yes, definitely do.
But yeah, my teachers loved me, so I don't know how.
Ah,
I even passed it with flying colors.
Look
in
at that.
So I don't know how that happened either.
Sure. Don't worry. So, Mom is not listening that you skipped class, so Mom won't know.
She can know now.
Oh, now she knows.
Nothing she can do about it. She can know. It's okay. I'm okay.
Yeah, okay now with that. Okay.
And yeah, then, yeah. You can leak the information to her. You've got my permission.
Mom, she skipped class. If you're listening, Mom, I just want to put it out there.
Listen.
Yeah.
My mom knows about some of the mischievous things I got into. One day, a neighbor of ours saw us hiking. As you know how we were naughty. As,
yeah, yeah.
You know, kids,
yeah.
I actually used my transport money for food.
Okay.
Which I already had money for food, but I decided, my friends and I convinced each other we were going to buy extra food.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't have money to get home, so we hiked. Hitchhiked.
Ooh. From
and
where to Guatemala?
From Gelukdal to Guatemala, yes.
Ah, and that's like how many minutes?
It's one straight road.
Ah, okay,
it's about
okay.
10 minutes.
10 minutes.
From Gelukdal to home.
Yeah.
Yes, it's
yeah.
not far. But I was not allowed to hike.
Yes.
So I was in a lot of trouble.
Mom did know about it.
Yeah, she found out from my neighbor. Went straight to my mom.
Oh, neighbor. Neighbor, you know.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
That's why I said. The community
yes,
was
involved.
In
eh?
They looked out. You
yeah.
couldn't do anything wrong because
yeah.
you knew every lady is your mother.
Eish, yeah. My neighbors sometimes
yeah.
must not snitch, man. They shouldn't snitch these types of things.
Snitches. Yeah, she snitched.
Okay. And looking back then and looking at where you are today and I suppose where God has placed you and the woman that you are, would you say your background, your schooling, the community, other projects that you've done? Because I want to get into your career, but before that, you know, how has that contributed to the woman that you are today, the person that you are, the business that you are running today? Would you say that history back has contributed to that?
I would say so, because you know how your environment contributes to who you become.
Mm.
In as much as our education system is not the best. I didn't attend the best of schools. But I got more influence from it from home, where my parents didn't just rely on their salary alone. So my parents are hustlers till this day. They yes, they will know how to, you know, turn $1 into $5.
Yes.
They can stretch $100 into $1,000. So I got that influence, and they had friends that also had small businesses. So I believe that my knowledge about business started at a very young age,
the
because
young
I also
age.
started a small business in high
Yeah.
school. I used to
Yeah.
sell snacks.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So the environment has contributed. Even though if we had better education, I
Yeah.
think I would have been better equipped for the challenges that I later faced in business. Yes.
Okay,
Yeah.
fantastic. And then you went and studied industrial engineering. How was that and how did it come about?
I have no idea. I
Oh.
wasn't there.
Okay.
So I studied industrial engineering because back then, I think even now, it was one of the opportunities that were presented to us. So you had a few options to choose from, being
Yeah.
a doctor, an accountant, engineer, the general choices. We didn't know that there's unlimited options out there, and we did not know how to access them. So I, because I love math and science, I convinced myself that I'm going to be an engineer.
Okay.
And I did, and I studied industrial engineering, and that's how it came about. Yes, and I worked in engineering for a few years. It was not even 10 years, about 7 years before
Okay.
I left engineering to pursue entrepreneurship.
Oh, okay. And what made you leave? It sounds like, at least from what we could see with other industrial engineers as well, it's a pretty good job.
Yes. So what happened was I was feeling emotions of not being fulfilled. It was feeling monotonous every day, waking up to sit at the same desk with the same challenges. There weren't enough challenges for me to feel like I'm contributing to society or even the companies I was working for. So I wasn't feeling challenged enough, and it was starting to be very demotivating and not so inspiring for me to get up every morning to go work at this, it was a good paying job. I mean, anybody would have loved the position that I was in, but there was something missing in it for me.
Sure,
that is.
sure.
Yes.
All right.
So that's how I decided. That's where the journey started.
Yes.
When I would feel that there must be something bigger than what I'm doing, than the routine paperwork on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Can't be me. Yeah.
So industrial engineering sort of found you. Do you feel like it found you, like it drew you, or how did it come about? It was because eventually you thought this is not really me, and I'm not fulfilled.
So industrial, I think the memory I have of how I came into industrial engineering was about we went on a church camp.
Okay.
And I met a lady who had just recently qualified as an industrial engineer. So I actually had an opportunity to interview her for 2 weeks because we were together at a camp for 2 weeks. And I got to understand what industrial engineers do, working in processes and optimization of processes. And I liked the sound of that. And before I had a conversation with that lady, I actually had planned to be a metallurgist. So that camp actually changed my mind, and I think that's how I decided to get into industrial engineering.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. And then you made that leap, you jumped, you thought, this is not it. Of all the businesses that are out there, perhaps one would have thought you'd go into the same field as well, but you went a complete different direction. How and what motivated that?
I know, right?
Yeah.
I get that question a lot because it's very different from what I studied.
Yes.
So I found life coaching found me. When I was asking myself these questions of there must be something out there in life. This can't be it. I can't be confined to this desk, And it was not that easy for me to climb the corporate ladder because there were other, political issues within the organization.
I see.
So that frustration is what actually gave birth to life coaching.
Yeah.
And I was actually accompanying a friend when I found it. But I'm gonna summarize this nicely for you that I accompanied a friend to inquire about life coaching. I fell in love with it and I signed up.
Sure.
And I think that course is what gave me the push, and I still use those tools till today.
Yes.
And I have used those tools to design the programs that I offer in coaching. So it's completely different. And when I wanted a way out of engineering, I actually did not look for businesses that are
in that space.
In the engineering space, even though the journey involves me using the knowledge that I have from engineering. For example, there was a time when I did engineering tenders when I was a tenderpreneur.
So
I haven't really abandoned engineering altogether. I still use it in my practice as a business mindset coach as well.
That's lovely. Industrial engineering future students who want to get into that space, right? Perhaps maybe they are dilly-dallying in between doing it or not doing it. Would you advise them to go that direction?
You know what I would advise young people of all ages is to first look at finding what your real passion is.
Okay.
Because now if I encourage anybody who's looking at doing industrial engineering, I don't know if this is aligned with their passions or talents.
Okay.
That is why I'm doing the work I do, like I introduced myself earlier, that I help young people find their talents. Because right now I'm enjoying the work that I'm doing because it's in alignment with my talent. And I had to find that. So if they can spend much of their time, if they need my help, I'm there to assist finding what it is that they really love and look at what courses are out there that are aligned to their passions.
Yes.
Because you will be a better equipped and better performing employee or entrepreneur if it is in alignment with your innate
100%.
Talent. Versus just pulling whatever's in front of you, which is what I did.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't give advice to anybody to say, get into industrial engineering until you've actually, you can do, there's lots of tests that you can do from psychometric tests that tell you what your passions are. And then look, because in any talent that anybody has can be aligned to a career. And nobody told us this in school. And I am here to spread that to the world. Because I think even if things get tough within your career journey or your business, you will still push on because this is what you love. And there's nothing else for you because this is your love. You're not doing it for the money. The money follows.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It does.
So that's my advice.
So find your passion. And if they need tools to do that, they can definitely come to you for that, right?
Definitely.
Which is the amazing part. And you're quite right. I think a couple of years ago, if some of us were exposed to your services, for example, we would have perhaps taken different career choices, and I think the young people now have got a plethora of options that they can actually explore before they decide on any career that they want to get into, lest they get so depressed, like some of us maybe might be even working and we're so depressed, but we've got responsibilities now. You can't move away from this thing, right?
You know what? So we must save them before they get to the point where they have responsibilities. Spend some time. That's why I always encourage young people that actually have the opportunity to take a gap year.
Yeah.
I love gap years because that's when you can actually explore and go volunteer in different organizations. That's also another method that can help you find what it is that resonates with
yeah.
you. And I also would love to urge parents to support this because
yes,
they
yes.
are the ones that usually tend to push their kids towards what they feel
what
are good
they
for
want.
Kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I'm gonna crush that tonight.
It doesn't work.
And say the parents don't know what is good for their children.
Ooh.
They don't know because. Yes, I'm telling them live on and radio that you don't know what is good for your child because you're not trained to find out what's good for them. That's why you have kids that are frustrated in school.
Yeah.
I mean, if they check the stats, this is now coming from the stats, that there's a high number of tertiary dropouts.
Mm.
Why are they dropping out if this is something they like?
Mm.
Think about it.
Yeah.
It's because parents are pushing them into this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or others are getting it into it because they're confused and they don't know what options are there. So, dear parents, please
don't do that. Don't live your life, you know,
through your children. Help them find what they are good at and they will excel beyond your expectations.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's really beautiful. In this space of coaching, what has been your highlight so far that you look back at and say, you know what? I'm doing what I love every single time I wake up in the morning. Some other reassurance.
I will take it back to myself.
Yeah.
The fact that I am at a space where I can actually acquire clients and I keep them. This tells me that because I chose to be the guinea pig of my work, I have actually trialed and tested the tools and techniques that I coach on myself.
Yeah.
So even if you can pick up the phone now and call any of my clients, they'll tell you that every time they come to a session, they'll come because they are told that the methodology is to bring a problem to every coaching session and will together facilitate and I assist them find a tool and help them, you know, get into their mind, learn how to solve their own problems.
Yeah.
And me watching the feedback and getting the feedback from them and the confidence they have when we have a coaching session each time shows me that the work that I've put in myself first is now bearing the fruits. You know, I may have planted the seed 10 years ago, but today I am actually reaping, you know, the rewards.
Yeah.
And that is what every day makes me smile, is getting the daily feedback from my clients.
Yeah.
Every time they get a hypophany or they find solutions to the problems that I initially struggled with when I started business. Because I didn't start as a business mindset when I started business, by the way. I did not. I started doing other businesses. I was a network marketer. I've done Uber driving.
Ooh.
I've sold toilet papers.
Ooh.
I've done tenders. But it is that trialing different businesses and failing in those that has helped me build the business mindset because I was able to get up every time I would fall using these techniques.
That's really beautiful. And what would you say is the challenge in this space?
Whew. This will need the whole day.
Okay, I see.
The main challenge is that the education system does not equip us for business. We are taught to work for someone, not for ourselves. Therefore, when you start a business, you think because you were good at a job that you were doing as an engineer, you are equally going to excel as an entrepreneur. And you don't know when you start that the businesses that you've worked for as an employee were once a small business that somebody had to build from scratch. And you don't know what these building blocks are until you are actually in the business and you find out that you need to wear the sales hat,
yeah,
the marketing hat.
Yeah.
You need to create the content. You need to design the product.
Eish.
You do the costing.
Mm.
You are doing the invoicing. Mm-hmm. You are the tech,
mm-hmm,
person in the business. You mm-hmm are doing the accounting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
No one tells you all of this.
You wear all these hats.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the challenge is first the knowledge.
Yeah.
You don't know anything about business. I did not know how much I didn't know about running or starting a business.
Look
I didn't
at that.
Know.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the challenge. And when you fail because you don't know what you're doing, it is discouraging.
It is.
It is depressing.
Yeah.
It is not easy.
Sure. Especially if you think about how statistically, for example, we are told that a huge number of startups fail in their first year. If they make it to their third year,
Why do you think it's difficult?
Sure. There's no knowledge.
Why do you think they fail? Yes.
There's no knowledge.
There's no knowledge. There's no correct mindset.
Yeah.
Because the major issue was, it's not that I lacked the passion when I failed in these other ventures.
Mm. Mm.
My mindset wasn't aligned with what I was doing.
Mm.
Therefore, I couldn't be consistent.
Yeah.
I had a lot of habits
that
were stealing the time that I should dedicate to the business. I did not know this. I had to learn everything from scratch.
Yes.
So businesses are failing because they don't have the necessary mindset tools.
Yeah, sure.
To be consistent. They've got the passion, they've got the drive.
Yeah.
They want to excel
mm-hmm
in what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't take that away from them. You started a business because there's a passion. Where other people start because of circumstance.
Yes.
But there is some will.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
It's the knowledge, the know-how, they don't know how.
Mm. And I think that's why businesses like yourselves then become quite important, because there's really a lot of knowledge that is required in sharing that. But also, I suppose, getting yourself in the right mindset is also quite very, very important as you run any type of business. Doesn't matter what it is, formal or informal and all those sort of stuff. Okay. As we draw to the end, then I want to talk about money. And
money.
Yes, my favorite topic, by the way.
I love money.
Oh, look
my
at
my favorite
that.
Topic, too.
I love it. Because I actually think that that's the whole reason they brought me to this show. I was like, law
please,
and money.
It's money. Really?
Everything, law and money.
Listen, money drives the world.
No, it really, really does. It really does. So how would you characterize your relationship with it?
With money?
Mm.
Very interesting question.
Mm.
I've always been a person that actually has the ability to attract money.
Okay.
Besides the tool that I coach on how to, because we look a lot at the inside-out approach.
Yeah,
my
yeah.
coaching is based on anything that you want to attain comes from the inside, which speaks to the mindset aspect of it, is that whatever challenges that you're facing in your business, they are, created from within you. So you need to learn how your inside works so that you can get things that you want. So I'm constantly, like I said, trialing the tools on myself. So I've always been a person that attracts money. I was the first to have a car within my friends.
Sure.
I was able to build my mom a house. I demolished the entire structure, and I rebuilt a house from scratch.
Phew.
So I think I have a good relationship with money.
Oh, okay. One of the few people.
But I've had to learn again, because at school we learned, I did, the only subject I remember that was teaching me about money is accounting.
Okay.
And we were learning about monies that are only seen in the bank.
Yeah, billions of rands.
It wasn't practical daily tools that, this is how you do budgeting for yourself.
Yeah.
So I've had to learn that. So I quickly attract the money and I quickly lose it because I don't have the knowledge of managing the money.
Yes.
That's one of the tools I had to learn, which is now what I coach on. I coach people on the fundamentals of financial management. And I've also partnered with other business partners that are advanced in finance coaching.
Mm.
But so my relationship with money, I would say it's a love and hate relationship, because I acquire it and then I lose it, because I've had to learn the skill of you know, managing money. Now I have budgeting tools that I use.
Budgeting tools, okay.
Now I know I've separated my business finances from my personal finances, and I strictly pay myself a salary.
Mm.
So we're getting there. We're getting there. The consistency is, yes, it's finding its ground.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what do you think is the one lesson that you've learned that you think it's imperative for other young people growing up who are studying out to learn about money? Because I think our system does not really cater for them at high school, catered for us, even when they get to university. And so the first time that they actually meet money, you know, at least at a larger scale, is after they've graduated and got their first job. And it almost becomes downward hill from there, because there's no skills around managing money. You know, some of them never really come out of the bad decisions that they've made, or if they do, they come out.
Into real.
It just becomes really bad. So, from your experience, what is the one lesson that you would share around money, especially to young people studying out?
So I'm a spiritual person.
Yeah,
everything that I do is aligned to spirituality because I believe we are all part of something greater than ourselves. And speaking to that, I believe in a life that is full of abundance. So the first point, before we even talk about money, they need to look at their beliefs around money. Do you believe in abundance or lack? Because when they're in school, they push so hard and they dedicate their time to be the greatest in their classes and graduate cum laude. And, you know, then they get the jobs and they make the money. But then they don't continue to upskill and learn more about the space they're in, which you are employed now. You've got money that you need to handle. Learn more about that. Get courses on financial management. But before you do that, if your belief systems are around lack, you're always going to mismanage because you're believing lack, and whatever you believe, you attract. So they need to first look at their beliefs and change those, because there is such an abundance of anything we want in life. And the lack that we experience in our lives is directly linked to the beliefs that we have. So when you know you believe in abundance, and you get the skill of managing finances, and because school didn't teach us, don't just sit back and be a victim of the education system that let you down. There's so many. There's even free courses now. YouTube. At University of YouTube.
Exactly.
Don't just sit there and drown in debt. Get yourself out of it. But it all starts in the mindset, because if you don't see a way out, you are continuously going to be drowning and drowning.
Indeed.
So you need to audit your own mind.
Yeah.
And then look at, there's answers everywhere. You must just look.
Okay.
Yes.
We're running out of time, but I really want to squeeze in these concluding remarks. Looking back to your younger self, with the benefit of hindsight, what would you say to your younger self?
I would tell my younger self that things eventually work out.
Love that.
Yes.
Sure.
We tend to stress a lot as human beings, which is the major causes of illnesses in our society, is because we're panicking that things are not working out, things won't. Things turn to work out. You're not dying. You are learning to survive and, you know, find your way to fulfillment.
Sure.
So that's what I would tell my younger self. Things work out. Trust the process, but do your part as well.
So
this is no way to say that because we're saying trust the process, now you must be lazy. Do your part, but things do work out. Stress less and have more fun. Remember, that's what I first said.
Fun. Exactly. And again, just sitting on that one, it sounds easier said than done. In practicality, it's very difficult to think that things will eventually work out, especially if you are in the dark, you are in a very bad space.
Thank you so much for highlighting that. And this is the core reason why I do what I do, is to help people know that the resources that they need to get out of any difficult situation are within themselves. They don't come from outside. There is no magic wand that's going to help you get out of that dark space.
Sure.
And that is why I coach on the tools and techniques that I use.
Yeah.
They help you strengthen your mind
and
help your own mind to come out of a dark space, to make use of the resources that you have within and around you. So without the know-how, I agree with you. It sounds like easier said than done. But when you have somebody that can show you, you know, how to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've worked the you know, the hot cold.
Yes.
You don't have to do that.
You don't have to.
Because I've done it. Yes.
Yeah.
Now I know what is out there to assist you with any situation that I've gone through crazy 10 years of, you know, the mind training. So, and I've used it on myself. It wasn't the easiest of training to undergo, because I was doing it mostly solo with the help of my coaches, but majority of the time you're by yourself working on, you know, your mindset.
Yeah.
So without the tools, it's not that easy, but people can learn to pick up a book and read these books, the entrepreneur books, the personal development books.
Yeah.
Have tools that can help you.
Yeah.
Even if you can't afford to consult with a coach, let's say.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
You can get a PDF book online for free that can help you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Sure. And what would you do differently if you were to start all over again?
I would find me a career coach so that I can do what I do at an early age.
And enjoy it and
not
be
to
fun
say I have
since.
Regrets about my life.
Yeah.
I mean, I've undergone the journey that I was designed to go through.
Yes.
But if I were to do things differently, I'd find myself a coach, a career coach, a life coach, any coach.
Any coach,
A psychometric,
psychiatrist. Yeah.
Somebody that can actually help me find my true passion.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
And you are a podcaster, you're an author, you run your own coaching business, you've dabbled into engineering, you are awesome and all those. You are an Isrenda, look at that, you've got all these nice things. 10 years from now, where are we going? Is there anything still to be done?
Yo. How can you ask that? Even now, as I'm tuned in from Uganda, discussing collaborations with big organizations.
Sure.
So yes, there's bigger things in the pipeline. I am with royal delegations from different parts of Africa and different parts of South America. We are looking at building. Business schools.
Sure.
So 10 years from now, there is going to be a lot of business schools around South Africa, first and foremost, that are going to assist in the reduction of the high youth unemployment rates.
Yes.
Because I believe if we can teach young people to start businesses, they can employ the generations to come, and that can reduce that high unemployment
rate. Yes. Oh, that's beautiful. Okay, last one as we end. Where can people find your services? But also more importantly, a young black lady listening, what would you say to them?
I would say to them that there is a way out. There are alternatives. Whatever you are facing is not the end. There's help. I mean, they are always on Google and they are not searching the right stuff. They are on social media looking at the wrong stuff. They can go on that social media and ask for help. They can contact me and I can assist them, you know. So there's a way out. It's not the end, but the one that I love to share the most is pick up a book.
pick up a book.
Books have contributed so much.
Yo.
Not just any book. Novels are there to just unwind.
Yeah.
If you want value, if you want to change your life, find a business book, find a personal development book. I mean, my book is getting published early next year.
Okay.
So, yes. So
we're looking forward to that.
Actually, I'm looking forward to it. I will let you know. You will interview me about it.
Please, definitely. We are on the list.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So there is a way out, and anything that they want to achieve, they can, because the resources they need are within them. They're not outside. So there's hope.
Yeah.
They just need to know how to access them.
Sure. Where do they find you? Social media? How can people follow you?
Social media?
Yeah.
I am on Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, Facebook, and there's Threads. I keep forgetting the Threads as well.
Yeah.
It's at Coach Ama Wealth.
Okay.
So Coach as in like soccer coach.
Yes.
COACH.
Yeah.
And then Ama is AMA.
Yeah.
Wealth.
Yeah.
Wealth as in money as well, you know, riches.
Yeah.
Coach Ama Wealth.
Yeah.
And my website is coachamawealth.com.
.com.
Ooh, yes. And on WhatsApp, I am on +27 76 260 6872.
Look, I don't think it doesn't. The Bible says all good things come from the east. So as a surrender myself,
sunrise.
Where everything starts, right? I just want to say thank you so much
for
indulging
me.
Us and talking to us this evening. I think I've learned a lot, and I hope my listeners will as well. And may God bless you. I know this is probably not the last. The book that's coming, I want to be there at the launch and stuff. So I'm sure we're going to be talking. Oh, we'd love that. But thank you so much, ma'am. All the best, and really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you so much. That is, of course, our coach there. It is Ama Mohapi. What a beautiful, beautiful, fruitful conversation that we've had. I am blessed.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.